Does truth exist?
Because you have faith, does that make this book true?
Does God exist?
So when someone says there is no truth, if you apply the claim to itself, what should you say? Is that true?
They don't think Christianity's true.
They're talked out of it. You know why they're talked out of it? Because they've never been talked into it.
Cross-examining skeptical and atheistic views. Welcome to Cross-Examine with Dr. Frank Turek.
Ladies and gentlemen, is it right to impose your values on other people? You know, back in September, we covered a story about how a U.S. Army Green Beret was kicked out of the Army, a decorated Green Beret, after an 11-year Special Services or Special Forces career. Now, why was he kicked out? Because he got in trouble for shoving an Afghan police commander who had raped a 12-year-old boy and had beaten up this boy's mother after she had reported the incident. So this Special Forces Army veteran was booted out of the Army because he decided to beat up this Afghan police commander who had raped this boy and beaten up his mother. The reason for this, the Army decided it would be wrong for this man to impose our values on the Afghan culture, because apparently this is pretty common in the Afghan culture. Now, about that same time, President Obama was in Africa trying to get the Africans to accept homosexuality. He said in Kenya at a press conference with the Kenyan president this, and I quote, "When a government gets in the habit of treating people differently, those habits can spread. As an African American in the United States, I'm painfully aware of the history of what happens when people are treated differently under the law. And there were all sorts of rationalizations that were provided by the power structure for decades in the United States for segregation and Jim Crow and slavery, and they were wrong. So I'm unequivocal on this." So here's President Obama saying, well, it's wrong, obviously, to have slaves like we had in the United States and Jim Crow laws and segregation. But he was speaking in the context of homosexuality. So he's trying to say, just as we were wrong about slavery, you're wrong about homosexuality. So President Obama wanted to impose his view, his values with regard to sexual behavior on the Africans or the Africans there in Kenya. But apparently his own army can't impose the value of not raping 12-year-old boys on the Afghans. So let me say that again. So Obama can impose his value of encouraging homosexual behavior on Africa, but the military cannot impose the value that you ought not rape 12-year-old boys on the Afghans. So we can tell other countries, or we can't tell other countries what to do unless it's telling them they must accept abortion and homosexuality. So we can't impose sexual ethics unless it's a sexual ethic that condones homosexuality. Apparently, this kind of double standard that we have, that we can't impose our values, but we can impose our values, depending on what that value is. Now, of course, as we've mentioned several times in this program before, the comparison to race and homosexuality is completely fallacious. That's what President Obama tried to compare, homosexuality and race. It is not discriminatory against anyone to say that certain sexual behaviors are wrong. It's not bigotry, it's biology. However, race is irrelevant to behavior. Sexual activity, on the other hand, is a behavior. Regardless of what your skin color is or your ethnicity, that doesn't affect your behavior in any way. It has no necessary connection to behavior. But sexual behavior, of course, is a behavior. In other words, you're not treating people differently. You're treating behaviors differently when you have laws that regulate certain sexual activity, whether it's to prevent certain sexual activities or to promote certain sexual activities like marriage does. Laws, good laws, treat people the same, but they treat behaviors differently. Now, there's no difference between a black person and a white person, other than their skin color. But that should have no bearing on what the law does. The law should treat whites and blacks equally. However, the law may choose, or we as lawmakers may choose to treat certain behaviors differently. In fact, that's what all laws do. They treat behaviors differently. Different behaviors they treat differently. Equal behaviors they treat equally. It's interesting. The left often says don't impose your values. Except we can impose our values on abortion. And we can fund abortion and force you to fund it. We can fund Planned Parenthood and force you to fund it because your tax dollars are going to it. We can force nuns to fund contraception. We can enforce same-sex marriage and say that that's a good thing that we ought to enforce. We ought to impose that value. And we should force people to participate in same-sex marriages against their conscience or religion, such as florists or photographers or bakers. And we can impose our values when it comes to open borders. We don't have to enforce our immigration laws. In fact, this week, right on the Drudge Report, they had this big headline out of the Washington Examiner that now suddenly our borders are open. Or we're not enforcing our border laws. Why would anyone suggest we need quote-unquote comprehensive immigration reform if we're not currently enforcing the laws we already have? What good are laws if you don't enforce them? Oh, we can't impose our values, except if it's gun control, and apparently we can do that, right? Look, everybody wants to impose values. I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on, whether you're on the liberal side or the conservative side or the libertarian side, you are trying to impose values. The question is, whose values? So is it wrong to impose your values? Well, not necessarily. Your values may be the right values, but you didn't make them up. If you have the right values. In other words, we ought not impose my values or your values. We ought to impose the values. The values that Thomas Jefferson recognized were self-evident. That we hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men were created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And governments are instituted among men not to give these rights or take them away, but to protect these rights. That's what governments are supposed to do. They're supposed to protect rights. They don't give rights or take rights away. Rights ultimately come from God. If there is no God, there's no right to anything. Everything's just a matter of opinion, a matter of preference. So we ought not impose just arbitrary values, our preferences, but we ought to impose true values, the way reality really is. And the problem is, it seems like many people want to change reality to fit their behavior than to change their behavior to fit reality. And we're seeing this. In fact, I'm going to get to this in a couple minutes after the break. There's some incredible, when I say incredible, I mean it's just hard for me to fathom how this is going on, laws that are being passed in city councils. We're going to talk about it later in the program. You're not going to believe it. Well, you probably will believe it. Just sexual chaos laws. But the point I want to make right now is everyone's trying to impose morality. Everybody's trying to legislate morality. And we have to impose values if we're going to be a government that maintains some sort of civilized society. All governments do that. And some governments do it better than others. That's why we could tell the Nazis that they were wrong at the Nuremberg trials, because there is a standard beyond our government and beyond the Nazi government that said murdering Jews, homosexuals, gypsies, and other undesirables is wrong. I don't care what your government told you to do, because there's a standard beyond your government, and that standard should be the standard by which your government makes laws, or in accord with which your government makes laws. If it isn't, then there's a problem here. So we're all trying to impose morality. Now, that doesn't mean we're always trying to impose religion. You see, religion has to do with our duty to God. Morality has to do with our duty to one another. You can impose morality without imposing religion. You can say, don't kill other people, without saying that you have to be a Christian or a Muslim or some other religion. So all laws impose morality, but not all laws impose religion. So the whole separation in church and state objection really has no teeth if you really look at it. But I want to tell you about what's going on in New York and what's going on here in our city, Charlotte, and it might be going on in your city as well. You need to be ready for this. It's unbelievable what's happening. I'm Frank Turek. You're listening to Cross Examine with Frank Turek on the American Family Radio Network. We're back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away. If you're low on the FM dial looking for national public radio, go no further. We're actually going to tell you the truth here. That's our intent anyway. I can guarantee you, you're not going to hear this on NPR, although you should. You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the American Family Radio Network. Our website, crossexamined.org. That's crossexamined with a D on the end of it.org. And this week, my wife and I are celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. That is amazing. So, a great shout out to my lovely bride, Stephanie, even though she's not listening right now, because we're celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary this week. So thank you for your prayers. If you ever do consider praying for our family and this program and our ministry, we appreciate that. I also want to mention that in the coming weeks, I'm going to be in South Dakota and also Oklahoma. In fact, all this is on our website, crossexamined.org. Look under events, Frank Turek calendar. Sioux Falls in South Dakota, a number of events there. And then on February 24th, I'll be at Oklahoma University for I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. It's a two-night event. The first night I'll be speaking on I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. The next night, Jay Warner Wallace, the cold case homicide detective, will be speaking on cold case Christianity, the evidence for the New Testament. And then myself, Jay Warner Wallace, and Mike Adams will be doing a Fearless Faith Conference in Oklahoma on the 26th and 27th of February, and I'll be speaking on the 28th there on Sunday. I think this is all in Broken Arrow, if I'm not mistaken, the 26th and 27th Fearless Faith Conference. Check our website for details at crossexamined.org, and just click on events. You'll see Frank Turek calendar. So I hope to see you out there. And then later on in March, we'll be at Calgary doing a debate up in Calgary and doing an apologetics conference up there. Again, all the details are there at crossexamined.org. All right. What's going on right now in America is pretty frightening. If you think the religion of sex, and by the way, that's the new religion in our country today. We've talked about this earlier as well on a previous program. If you think the religion of sex is stopping with same-sex marriage, you're not paying attention. Because in New York City, just about a month ago, the New York City Commission on Human Rights passed some sort of ordinance to try and protect what they say, or to announce strong and bold protections for transgender and gender nonconforming individuals. They did this back in December, actually. And the article is in the Daily Signal, January 6th. And the bottom line to this ordinance is that under the new policy, I'm reading from this Daily Signal article, landlords, employers, and businesses can face civil fines up to $125,000 per violation and up to $250,000 for violations that are the result of willful, wanton, or malicious conduct. And basically, you could be fined $250,000 for using the wrong pronoun. In other words, if you call somebody a he and that person wants to be called a she, this ordinance would allow that individual to punish you potentially for $250,000. I'm not making this up. This is sexual chaos. This is madness. Jeremy Tedesco, who's at the Alliance for Defending Freedom, thank God for them, said this. This is essentially a speech crime law. You can be fined up to $250,000 if you use the pronoun he to refer to a man, if that man wants to be considered a woman. Do you see what's going on? There's no other word for it. This is insanity, ladies and gentlemen. This is insanity. Now, there may be good intentions behind this insanity. Obviously, you don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. That's not a good thing, generally. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you got to shake people up. But you don't want to unnecessarily offend people. We understand that. But to put a law in place that where someone could get sued or fined for $250,000 for using the wrong pronoun is madness. And in fact, it's discrimination. You say, well, it's trying to stop discrimination. Well, it's creating a brand new kind of a discrimination. A discrimination against people who might reasonably use speech according to biology, who might reasonably use speech according to reality. And it's now come to Charlotte, North Carolina, where I live. And this happened, as you know, in Houston last year as well. The lesbian mayor there, Ms. Parker, tried to pass a law that said that transgendered individuals could use any bathroom that they wanted to use. And it, you don't have to prove you're a transgender. In other words, you could be a man and just say, today I feel like a woman, and go into the woman's bathroom. And they tried to pass that, and it was put up for popular vote, and it was rejected. Well, here in Charlotte, North Carolina, they're trying to do the same thing. They tried to do it last year, and they failed, and now they're trying to do it again this year. They're trying to do it in the city council. And if you look at your major cities around the country, if you live near one, there's probably much of this going on. You just don't know about it. And what they're trying to do is put in these so-called gender, transgender protections. And one aspect of this would allow anybody to use any bathroom for any reason, or if they just felt like they were the opposite sex that day. And so myself and Dr. Michael Brown, who is of the radio program Ask Dr. Brown, and The Line of Fire is the name of his radio program. I've had Dr. Brown on this program before. He also has a radio program on the weekend here on the American Family Radio Network. He's written a number of books. As you know, he's an expert in Old Testament prophecy, and he's also a culture warrior. Well, he and I got together and wrote a letter. He wrote most of it, actually. We just massaged a letter we wrote last year, and Mike added a lot more to it this year because, as I say, the city council tried to bring this up last year as well. And so I just want to show you some of the thinking that we have here that maybe you could apply wherever you are when this issue comes up. And the opening paragraph says this: all men and women who live and work in the greater Charlotte area, business leaders, religious leaders, and individuals from all walks of life are committed to the fair treatment of all North Carolina citizens, and we stand for equality and justice. That is why we oppose the proposed changes to the city's non-discrimination laws. The changes will actually discriminate against far more people, well over 95% of Charlottians. And it will open up the city to new lawsuits and will potentially endanger or at least put unfair burdens on countless women and children. In fact, it could even be used to discriminate against homosexuals. You say, how so? Let me just unpack this a little bit for you, because this is the kind of thinking that I think we need to bring to bear on these issues. And I say most of this was written by Michael Brown. It wasn't even written by me. He's a brilliant gentleman and a brilliant cultural critic is, I guess, the best way of putting it. The first thing we have here is that these laws allow men in women's bathrooms will open the door to heterosexual predators and put women and children in danger. And we say this: while the vast majority of those who identify as transgender are presumably not sexual predators, meaning that a transgender male to female wants to use the women's bathroom because he identifies as a woman, not because he wants to spy on women, there is no way to distinguish between a transgender male to female and a heterosexual predator who will exploit the law so as to spy on women. Last year, it was reported that, quote, a Toronto college is rolling back its use of gender-neutral bathrooms after two women at the school were victims of voyeurism by a man using a cell phone. Sadly, this is not an isolated case, and some have been even more grave, including one in which an admitted voyeur entered a woman's bathroom wearing a wig and a bra, and others in which predators used the new laws to access locker rooms or bathrooms and to talk with children. So it's not just, by the way, bathrooms in public places that you might say at the airport or at Panther Stadium or in a hotel. It could even be, say, at a health club, a YMCA. This law would apply to them. It would even apply to churches, ladies and gentlemen. Churches. We go on to say, in other states where laws have been passed prohibiting discrimination on the basis of gender identity, sexual predators have claimed to identify as women for the sole purpose of gaining access to bathrooms and women's shelters so they can abuse and sexually assault women. Do you really want to be the one making this our city. We're writing to the city council here. And even though we are absolutely not accusing the transgender community of being sexual predators, the very presence of a biological male in a women's bathroom or locker room can be terribly traumatizing, as verified by a rape victim who testified before the city council about this very bill last year. Because she had been raped in a bathroom years before, it is very difficult for her to use public facilities to this day. She could not imagine using a public bathroom if a man could come walking in, even wearing a dress and a wig. Do we throw under the bus? Do we throw her under the bus in order to cater to the needs of less than 7 out of every 1,000 people? Did you hear that? The transgender community is less than 7 out of 1,000 people. And yet we are now supposed to change all of our bathroom laws on the off chance that a person who claims to be transgendered might have a little bit of difficulty, might feel uneasy going into the bathroom of their biological nature. So now we're going to make the other 993 people be potentially put under danger by heterosexual predators. So what is supposed to be a non-discriminatory policy is actually now discriminating against women and children. You see, by the way, discrimination is not always wrong, because sometimes discrimination is wise, but it's discrimination based on behavior. It's not discrimination against people, it's discrimination against behavior, and that's what all laws do. Saying that a man can't use a woman's bathroom is rightful discrimination against the behavior of a man using a woman's bathroom in order to protect women. So every time you hear the word discrimination, don't think it's a bad word. Sometimes it's necessary if it's used in the proper way. We discriminate all the time. In fact, the people who are putting forth this bill are discriminating in an illegitimate way, in my view, against the other 993 people out of every 1,000 who are not transgendered and want to use a bathroom where they will not be subject to predators. So you don't need to throw the Bible at people to make a point. You can just look at this and realize it's against all common sense. And there's many more points that we can make on this. We'll do so after the break. You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the American Family Radio Network. Our website, crossexamined.org. Crossexamined with a D on the end of it, .org. Back in just 2 minutes. Is it wrong to impose your values on other people? You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the American Family Radio Network. Actually, the answer to that is not necessarily. Maybe the values that you hold are really the true values. Well, what do you mean, Frank? That's kind of arrogant. No, I think it's wrong to murder. Do you think it's wrong to murder? Well, it really is wrong to murder. Well, we ought to impose that value through law. Don't murder. If you do, there's going to be penalties. Yeah, that's imposed morality. That's legislated morality. And by the way, when people say don't impose your values on other people, I ask them, well, then why are you trying to impose your values on me? You see, you're imposing the value that I ought not to impose values. Well, who said? You're doing the same thing you say I ought not be doing. You're saying I ought not impose ought nots while you're imposing the ought not that I ought not impose ought nots. You have to listen to that again. I don't know if I even got that right. The idea, it's a self-defeating position. And again, these aren't my values. I'm not the moral standard of the universe. I'm not the moral standard of reality. God is the moral standard of reality. And I'm simply saying, let's line up with what his nature dictates to us. What really is true and right. And by the way, it may seem insulting to say this, and I don't mean to be insulting, because when you suggest that, well, maybe somebody has a mental disorder or a mental illness, well, that's insulting. Who are you to say that? Well, maybe I'm not. Maybe I don't have the qualifications, but people who struggle with their sexual gender, with their gender identity, might have a psychiatric condition. I mean, what if it's true it really is a psychiatric condition? If it's true that they really have some sort of mental disorder. And obviously, you have to evaluate this on a case-by-case basis. You can't say everybody who has this necessarily has a mental disorder, but maybe some of them do. And if they do, you do not correct a mental disorder with physical surgery. You correct a mental disorder with psychiatry or other kinds of treatments. You don't address a mental disorder with surgery, and that's what a lot of people who have this problem try and do. And it turns out, the research shows, it normally turns out to be a disaster. In fact, Dr. Michael Brown, who I mentioned earlier, who he and I co-wrote a letter that I'm referencing as we go through this broadcast here today, co-wrote a letter to the city council who's trying to allow anybody to use any bathroom in Charlotte at any time if they feel like they're of the opposite gender that day. He has done research into this, and one of the very first doctors to ever do a transgendered kind of surgery at Johns Hopkins University now says he won't do them anymore because the people he's trying to help, the surgery actually hurts them long term. But that's a whole nother discussion for a whole nother day. We're trying to now deal with this issue of opening up bathrooms to anybody to somehow accommodate 7 out of every 1,000 people in our city. And the second point we make in this letter, and by the way, the letter for this or the bullet points to this letter can be found at don'tdoitcharlotte.com. Don'tdoitcharlotte.com. If you want to see the petition up there, you can go up there and see it. In any event, the second point we make in here is that these laws violate a right to privacy. The proposed non-discrimination ordinance will violate the constitutional right of privacy by forcing citizens to share locker rooms, restrooms, showers, and with members of the opposite biological sex. In fact, 3 circuit courts of appeals have held there is a constitutional right to privacy that is violated when a government policy or action allows members of the opposite sex to view a person while engaging in activities such as undressing, using restrooms, or showering. You don't even need the 3 circuit court of appeals to know that. That's just common sense. However, the proposed ordinance will allow males to use female restrooms, locker rooms, and showers based on, and vice versa, based on what gender, quote, they identify with. This will affect businesses, nonprofits, private clubs, churches, and schools. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Schools, which means a 15-year-old boy at your local high school could go into the girls' room at that local high school and just say he's feeling like a woman today, and nobody can do a thing. Is this madness or what? Some people want to change reality to fit their behavior rather than change their behavior to fit reality. And that's what this is about. I was talking to my producer, Jeremy, here before the break. He said, well, you're just talking common sense, but common sense isn't so common anymore. I said, no, it's common. It's just been silenced in the name of political correctness. The reason these kind of nonsensical things get passed is because the sensible people out there don't speak up. Even more, our letter says, passing an ordinance of this type puts businesses and organizations in an untenable position of having to choose between obeying the law or protecting the safety and privacy of their patrons. They will not be able to legally stop a male from entering a woman's bathroom, locker room, or shower. Also, number 3, our children will be subject to social chaos in their schools with parents having no recourse against it. As a result of newly enacted guidelines in Calgary, Canada, based on gender identity and gender expression, Calgary lawyer John Carpe observes, quote, every Alberta student, male and female alike, now has the right to use the girls' washrooms and change rooms, depending not on the reality of biology, but purely on the student's own feelings. Schools at which kids wear uniforms can no longer insist that only girls wear skirts. Girls must now be allowed to join the boys' hockey team. Boys are entitled to attend a girls' sex education class. Schools must work toward elimination of single-gender sports, meetings, clubs, and activities. Schools must even stop using gendered language like mother, father, him, her, Mr., Miss. Instead, use non-gendered language like caregivers and partners. I'm about to throw up, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. This is madness. It really is. It wasn't so crazy. It'd be funny. Now, if you're a parent or grandparent, do you want your teenage boy sharing the locker rooms with teenage girls? And should the alleged rights of a confused 6-year-old boy trump the rights of all 6-year-old girls who now have to deal with the presence of a biological male in their bathrooms? And do you really want to declare a war on gender? Now, ladies and gentlemen, We're always hearing that the atheists and the liberals are all scientific in their outlook. They're the ones that champion science. These are the same people, by the way, who are saying they can't control their sexual behavior, but they can control their gender. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, the exact opposite is true. You can control your sexual behavior. You can't control your gender. It's a biological fact that you are either a male or a female. It's a scientific fact. And yet you have people out there trying to pass laws that are trying to change facts. Our letter goes on to say, already in Charlotte, there are nursery schools where teachers cannot use terms like boys and girls, since that would make a gender distinction. Instead, they are required to use terms like friends. Isn't that sweet? New laws will directly or indirectly open up a Pandora's box of problems for children. And in our zeal to protect one confused child, we will end up confusing thousands. And we go on to say, this is also happening in Washington State, not just Calgary, Canada. We go on to say, number four, it's going to place an unfair burden on employers and employees. I mentioned the legislation in New York City, which calls for fines up to $250,000 for anyone guilty of discrimination based on gender identity, which would include something as simple as not referring to a transgendered identified individual by the pronoun or name of their choice, even if they had no medical verification that they were diagnosed with gender dysphoria. And even if they were not taking hormones and had not undergone sex change surgery. In fact, it is illegal to ask for such verification. How are you supposed to know this stuff? What somebody is or wants to be? We go on to say, what possible justification would there be for introducing laws like this to our city? Again, in New York City, there could be no specific dress code for male or female employees, meaning if a restaurant hired a woman to wear dresses and men to wear slacks, a man could wear a dress if he chose. Furthermore, the ordinance will require many businesses to provide their goods and services, facilities, privileges, advantages, and accommodations to promote messages or ideas, i.e. speech, that are contrary to their religious and conscious beliefs about human sexual behavior. Business people that serve the public will be placed in an untenable position of having to choose between following the dictates of their consciences or following the city's new non-discrimination law. Taking the freedom of choice to follow their conscience Taking the freedom of choice to follow their conscience away from business owners in the city of Charlotte creates undue regulatory burdens, which in turn discourages businesses from locating or expanding in the city of Charlotte. It also exposes the businesses to lawsuits by persons included in the new specially protected categories created by the city. And that's certainly true. That's certainly true, because now a person who's now protected, so-called, by these new ordinances can pretty much sue at will if they ever sense there's any kind of violation of the so-called ordinance, which means if you had, say, a transgendered person working for you and a biological male or female working for you, you might, if you had to get rid of one of them, you might have to get rid of the biological male or female, even if they were a better worker, because if the transgendered person you got rid of decided that you did that because I'm transgendered, then you've got this big lawsuit on your hands. Even if the other person was a better worker, you might, just to protect yourself, get rid of the better worker. I mean, this is the kind of nonsense that goes on. Look, every human being is deserving of the same protection. But it's deserving of the same protection based on the fact that you're a human being. Not that you're a male, female, or transgendered, but that you're a human being. These categories that we put on people, black and white and all this. Now, male and female are legitimate different categories. They have different functions, obviously. But you should treat somebody because they're a human being with respect and dignity. Not because they're male, female, black or white or whatever. Yet these are the kind of laws that divide people and create all sorts of chaos. And the reason they're passing, ladies and gentlemen, is because you have been quiet. Your common sense has been silenced. Why? When are you ever going to stand up if you don't stand up now? Also, number five, we say in here, the proposed changes are unconstitutional and they open door to widespread discrimination against Christians, Muslims, Jews, and could even be used to discriminate against homosexual business people. What? Yeah, it's an ironic turn here, but this could be used against homosexual business people too. You say, how so? We're going to get to it right after the break. We're talking about this proposed, if you're just tuning in, you go, what's this craziness we're talking about? We're talking about this proposed new ordinance in Charlotte that is going to put so-called special protections in for gender identity and gender confusion and transgendered individuals. That's just going to create sexual chaos in the workplace. Anywhere there's a public facility, it's going to create chaos, and we're giving reasons why it's not a good idea. You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the American Family Radio Network. Website crossexamined.org. Back in 2 minutes. Don't go away. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever been to Israel? If you haven't, as a Christian, you have to go at least once. When I went to Israel for the first time and saw how everything fit together biblically, the geography and the locations of where all this went on, it really revolutionized my reading of the Bible, because I could see things that I couldn't see before by just reading the text. And we're going to Israel this June, 2016, myself, Bob Kornuk, the real Indiana Jones, and Eli Shukron will meet over there. Who's Eli Shukron? He is the archaeologist that discovered the Pool of Siloam and the Jebusite fortress that David took in the Old Testament. And he can take us to places that other people can't take us. And so you're going to want to go on this trip if you've never been there before. If you want to go on the Israel trip, you can go to livingpassages.com. You'll see it up there, livingpassages.com. The Israel-Jordan trip. We're going to Jordan, too. We're going to see Petra and all that. And we're going to just see some amazing sights from Nazareth all the way down to the Gulf of Aqaba, the Red Sea. It's just going to be a phenomenal trip. This will be my third trip to Israel. And my first trip to Jordan, though. So it's June 8th to the 19th. And just go to livingpassages.com or call 888-771-8717. That's 888-771-8717 if you are interested in the trip to Israel and Jordan. It'll be a relatively small tour, and what I say relatively small, anywhere between, say, 30 and 50. It's not going to be 600 people. Like, if you go with Chuck Swindoll, you might see him once on the third bus in front of you, but you're going to be with myself and Bob Kornuk, and when we get to Jerusalem, Eli Shukron, it's going to be a phenomenal trip. So go to livingpassages.com and then 888-771-8717. Again, if you want to inquire with someone on the phone about it, it's going to be a wonderful time. Looking forward to it again. We're talking today about the madness, the sexual chaos that's going on in some of our cities. These city councils are passing these crazy ordinances that are allowing anybody to use a woman's bathroom for any reason, somehow to make transgendered people who are less than 7 out of every 1,000 people feel more comfortable when they go to the bathroom in public. Of course, it discriminates against the 993 other people who would rather be in the bathroom with their same biological sex and not be the potential target of a heterosexual predator. And we've been going through the reasons why this is a very bad policy decision. We're not quoting Bible verses here. We're just pointing out the problems. And I mentioned before the break that the proposed changes not only, by the way, allow anybody to use any bathroom. When you put sexual orientation in or gender identity in as one of the protections along with race, and there's only one race, the human race, there are different ethnicities, but we call it race, along with race and religion and these kind of things, you are setting up some conflicting values that are hard to decipher or are hard to adjudicate. You're setting up all sorts of conflicts, in other words. Let me give you an example of this. What we say in this letter is, should a gay t-shirt maker be forced to create an anti-gay marriage t-shirt? Should a Muslim t-shirt maker be forced to create a pro-gay marriage t-shirt or a pro-gay pride t-shirt? You see, when you put these kinds of so-called protections into law, you are creating inevitable conflicts, because now you have a conflict between religious freedom and so-called sexual freedom. And you're creating a conflict between a conscience, it's hard for me to even say that word, maybe because I'm from New Jersey, a conscience. You have a conscience and you don't want to go against your conscience. Say you're a homosexual, you identify with the homosexual movement, and you have a Christian or a Muslim or somebody who's against politically your point of view. Should that person be able to force you to create brochures or T-shirts or other material that go against your beliefs? Now, there's probably not going to be any Muslim, Christian, or other person that's going to force you to do that. But I see over and over again homosexuals trying to force Christians to do that. Strangely, they don't seem to try and force Muslims to do this. But they force Christians to go against their conscience. And they're claiming they have a right to do that. You see, by adding marital status, familial status, sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression to public accommodation laws, the city will require many businesses to provide their goods, services, facilities, privileges, advantages, and accommodations to promote messages or ideas, i.e. speech, that are contrary to their religious and conscious beliefs about human sexual behavior. Business people that serve the public will be placed in an untenable position of having to choose between following the dictates of their consciences or following the city's new non-discrimination law. Taking the freedom of choice to follow their conscience away from business owners in the city of Charlotte or the city of New York or your city creates undue regulatory burdens, which in turn discourage businesses from locating or expanding in the city of Charlotte. It also exposes these businesses to lawsuits by persons including the newly specially protected categories created by the city. And with regard to freedom of religion and the Constitution, the freedom of religion is the most fundamental freedom. Yet in state after state, laws supposedly in place to prevent discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity are being used to discriminate against those who have religious or conscious objections. You know about the $135,000 fine that the Kleins got out there in Oregon for saying they can't participate in a same-sex wedding by providing a cake to a same-sex wedding. Yeah, they've been fined $135,000. You see, these are two rights or two values, I should say, that are coming into conflict in the public square. One says, I have a right to do business as I want to do business and not violate God or my conscience. And another individual saying, no, you have to violate your conscience in order to accommodate my celebration. Those are two conflicting values. So by passing these ordinances, you're actually creating more conflict in society. You're not creating and you're not removing discrimination, you're adding discrimination. Again, we ought to treat one another with respect because we're human beings. Not because we have a certain sexual orientation or because we have a certain skin color. The reason you're valuable is because you're made in the image of God. Not because you identify with a certain sexual orientation or you have a certain skin color. And yet what these laws do is they just create chaos. They create chaos in the courts. They create chaos in business. They create chaos in public in public facilities. And now, again, it might be that all the people on the city council and all the people behind this have the world's best intentions. My problem is I don't think they've thought this through, even if they do have the best intentions. G.K. Chesterton wisely commented at one point, don't ever take a fence down until you know the reason it was put up. Don't ever take a fence down until you know the reason it was put up. The reason we have fences in public between the sexes when it comes to bathroom facilities is because we know that there could be trouble if we don't have those fences. We could put women and children in danger, and we do. And yet, these people want to do this to somehow make less than 7 out of 1,000 people who identify as transgendered feel a little bit more comfortable when they use the public facilities. Well, that's a trade-off I don't think anybody should be willing to make. I don't think you ought to put 993 potentially in danger to make 7 just maybe feel a little bit more comfortable. I don't think the law would warrant that. You don't make laws based on exceptions. You make laws based on the rule. Because you can always find exceptions. For example, you might need to speed your pregnant wife to the hospital one day. But does that mean you ought to do with all you ought to do away with all speed limit laws because one day you might need to violate that law? No. Speed limit laws save a lot of lives. And just because you need to have the freedom to drive a little faster one day than in an emergency doesn't mean you ought to do away with all the laws that protect countless other people every day, millions of people every day. So you don't base laws on exceptions. You base laws on the rule. You base laws on what is going to help the vast, vast, vast majority of people. And yet you have people on the Charlotte City Council, obviously the New York Rights Commission, whatever that commission is up there in New York, that's trying to fine people $250,000 for using the wrong pronoun when addressing a transgendered individual. You have people like this putting these things into law in their localities, and Christians are just quiet about it. Oh, we don't want to turn anybody off. We don't want to be offensive. You don't have to be offensive. You just have to stand up and speak the truth in love. Now, when you speak the truth in love, doesn't mean you can't be passionate. Doesn't mean you can't be direct. Jesus was direct on several occasions. In fact, I think he raised his voice on several occasions. We need to stand for the truth. Hey, if we don't stand for the truth, who is? Who's going to stand for the truth? We're called to be salt and light. And if you're concerned about where our culture's going, go home and look in the mirror. Because it's not just the people who disagree with you politically that are responsible. You're responsible if you haven't been politically involved. You have to be involved. If not for your own protection, at least for the protection of women and children in this regard. So again, if you want to read more about this, go to don'tdoitcharlotte.com. I think that's the actual website. In fact, I should check it myself. I don't know if it's .com or .org. Let's see. Let me just be sure of this. Don'tdoitcharlotte.com. Now, this isn't, if you're outside of Charlotte, you go, this doesn't apply to me. No, it does. It does, because this kind of thing is happening all over the country. And you can see the kind of reasoning that we're putting forward. Again, this isn't my website. These are just ideas that I brought up. And some of these ideas, along with others, have been put on this website. So check it out. And friends, it's great being with you. Sorry to talk to you about such a difficult topic, but someone needs to talk about it. So check out our website, crossexamine.org, for more. I'm Frank Turek, and I will see you next week. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.